Welcome again to the Dog Show Drive with Wayne and Will. I'm Wayne Cavanaugh.
And I'm Will Alexander.
Indeed you are, young William. This week,
we That's have- That's why I do this, because you always call me young William.
That's the best part. when we're in our 90s, I'd be, hey, over here and to my left is young William.
What did you say, Wayne?
Beautiful. Anyway, we're going to be really talking about real stuff, including cell phone uses at dog show. Are you really taking care of your dog if you're on TikTok all day? The responsibility you have as an owner, handler, breeder, exhibitor to bring your dog to the show is healthy and not spread it to other dogs, especially the season of kennel cough and pet expos. Will went to one in Toronto. Learn about that and mentors, how important they are to our sport, the survival of our sport, and to new people. All that and more on the Dog Show Drive with Wayne and Will.
Down rocky cliffs, give me grace, bury my sins, shattered glass.
Doing, young William? It's another fine day in the neighborhood.
It sure is. It's becoming winter out. It's been snowing up here, not constantly, but the temperature is dropping and we're getting some snow. So that's what's happening here.
It's crummy here. I just wanted to congratulate you, young William. And for guys like us, this is pretty damn good. Do you know what episode this is?
No. Two.
34.
34? Yeah. It's just whizzing by, Wayne.
We're just not even 20 weeks away from having a solid year of never missing a week, except the one when my mom passed. But
that's incredible. Pretty
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
We made ourselves, ladies and gentlemen. Jeez. We didn't think we could be this consistent with anything.
No.
We've done it. Now we're going to retire, so this is our last normally. Anyway, want to start with our mailbag?
Yeah, let's check out the mailbag. Let's see what they have in there.
Yeah. Bing, you've got mail. we have an email from a Charles Brown from Michigan who is talking, I don't know, Charlie or maybe Charlie Brown, but anyway, he's talking about people using their phones too much at shows and how, you know, the assistants can't really do their job while they're always on their phone, and everybody in general on the phone. How are they going to learn? And I think he has a very good point.
Oh, that's definitely valid. Yeah. And I'm on my phone more than I should be too, especially now with, I do a lot of my business on my phone, but you walk by the X-Pens and you'll see all the kids and their phones while they're X-ing dogs and they're, you watch them, they'll be bumping into things while they're walking with dogs because they're walking with the dog on the left-hand side and the phone in their right hand. So I don't know what you do. We had a rule. At dinners, when we had our dinners after the shows, where everybody had to put their cell phone in the center of the table, right. And we just had dinner and tried to talk about normal things, but it's really hard on them. It's very addicting, and I find myself if I shut mine off, I know it's off, and I don't bother looking at it, and it doesn't ding, it doesn't do any of those things. So if I'm into something important, I will shut mine off.
When you wake up in the morning, what's the first thing you do?
I check the time, which is on my phone.
That happens to me too. And then yeah. What?
I don't go right to TikTok.
Check time and news first, damn it. And then I go to TikTok. I don't even know when Brody said, hey, TikTok, I don't want to know anymore. I've got enough technology in my head right now. I don't want to know anything new.
Oh, it's addicting.
Yeah, not going to happen. I don't have time.
Yeah, try not to, but I follow certain people. I'm following this certain people. I'm following this young man who's living up in Nunavut, which is the Northern Territories, and he lives outside the town, a city of Rankin, which is a little tiny city up there, and it's never summer there. It's always winter pretty well. And he lives in an 8x12 shack. And his heating source is a Coleman stove.
And why are you following this guy, Will?
It's just interesting.
Are you considering such a lifestyle?
But it's just interesting how he goes about his day-to-day survival. He hunts, he shops, he doesn't have electricity. He works. He's a carpenter. He's an apprentice carpenter, and he charges up all his power banks while he's at work. So he has no electricity in his shack. So all his power is from power banks for his phone, and he has Wi-Fi there. Because he has the channel, but it's addicting because all of a sudden he pops up and let's see what he's doing today.
I know. I've been there. I followed a guy who lived in his Honda Element for about 7 months. And I thought, why do I care what this, but there's a simplicity of his life that makes.
He's a complete minimalist. He has he showed us inside his cabin and there's a chair and there's a counter and there's a place for his food, not a refrigerator, just a place for his food. A water jug on top of that cabinet, a bed that you can tell he made it a 2x4s and a plank and a mattress on top. And someone asked him, how does he pee? And he took us outside to a rock outside where he pees.
It's minimalist is not a bad way to go. I'm not quite ready for complete minimalism, but I have fewer things than I used to have. And I'm pleased about that. Less things, less stress. Anyway, let's get back to Mr. Brown's question.
Charlie Brown. I'm sorry about that.
The picture of Mr. Brown, he's got a rotary phone
on his wall. Good grief.
So I don't know if he's a Luddite or what the story is, but he has a great point. And seriously, I was talking to a handler today who was adamant that he doesn't hire anybody to exercise his dogs. He walks them because he wants to tell what their stools look like and how they're peeing and how they're acting. And if you've hired someone to do that and you're not watching and you know they're trustworthy, but their phone bings, how quickly can things go wrong?
Oh, exactly. And what other job? You can't take your phone to work with you. I guess you can, but I think if you're caught on it too many times, you're going to have problems keeping that job.
Yeah, you are. And I can, and really it's, this is a very, very serious, thing for to be put in charge and the responsibility of someone else's dogs. And you really, Mr. Brown's right on, these cell phones have got to get done and they've got to be put away or turned off. If I'm a handler, I'm not on phone, but the assistants are saying, well, I've got to call the handler. I've got to call. Maybe. But
yeah. So there's definitely, if it's job oriented, I can see it being useful, but if you're an assistant calling another assistant, that's just, the other side of the building, that's not important.
When you're looking down and the thumbs are flying, I'm pretty sure your cruise was a Facebook tool. Now it's TikTok or whatever the hell is that?
No, it's still Facebook.
that's old people, I guess.
I guess. You're right. The kids are on TikTok. You're right. Yeah.
Or Insta something or an Instapot. No, Instagram something. but it's true. It's a serious thing. And I think it's a concern for everyone. And I just, I don't know what to say because I know how addicting it is. It's addicting for all of us.
Well, it's going to retard knowledge. There's no question. Yeah, people aren't going to learn as much when they're always on their phone about what they're supposed to be doing. Can you imagine if we all had phones back in the day at bench shows for Kenny Murray? but if we all had cell phones back in the day, I wouldn't have sat and listened to Bobby Barlow and Tommy, and I would have been on my phone playing something probably.
I can tell you that Forsythe's, we had a scoop in each hand. And one could be to break up an argument between boxers. And the other is when that drops, you pick it up. And if I put one down and picked up a cell phone, I can feel the metal end of a pooper scooper hitting me in the ear right now. Bam! That would be the end of cell phones, I can tell you right now. Different world. But we, not only did I like watching the dogs, I wanted to learn. I wanted to see how they moved. I wanted to see how the dynamics of how they got along together, because I have to put them out and no one's there to tell me who goes with what. I want to be able to make a good choice.
Oh, exactly. And it's important to see what their stool looks like. It's important not just to pick it up. We were just kidding this weekend, but when I was showing Piper, the Irish Setter, Monica, he had stomach issues once in a while. And so I would always ask her when she took him up for a walk, how was his poop today? And she'd describe it. Well, we were discussing that this week. I don't know why we were, but
we talk about poop in our house quite a bit.
Everybody poops, Mike.
Killian can really peel the paint off a wall. So you've got to make sure his stomach is just about right.
Exactly. Just like the Bouvier.
Oh, man. It's gross. It is gross. But we love him anyway. Right, buddy? Right. He can do whatever you, that's right. He's a bit odiferous, but he's a good soul. Anyway, thanks for that.
Yes, thanks, Charlie. Keep sending them in. It's a valid point.
Excellent point. And really just hang the damn things up. Pay attention to what you're doing. And you might learn something if you have your eyes and ears open. Yeah.
You're not going to learn on TikTok until you and I get a channel. Then we might be able to teach them something.
Then you should take 15 minutes a day and just watch us. But other than that, forget it. But a very good email. Thank you. And also, we have another one from a couple in Virginia, but it's in an area of Virginia, southeastern Virginia. And she says that it's a first name is could be either, says that they are they're in no dog's land. And I understand, you know, this is a family who has generations of dog show people behind them. They weren't necessarily into it. Now they want to get back into it. No one's around from their family to help teach them. And they want to start. And they are not giving up. They're determined. And they are working real hard to try to find mentors. There are no handlers in their area. They have a breed. I think they have Havanese that they want. They had their, or maybe Akitas or something. No, I think that's in the history. Anyway, it's a long email, but a very good one. And they're talking about, I think they have Havanese now. Yeah, they do.
I think you're right. I read the same email. Yeah. They have an Havanese.
And they just want help. They want help trimming. They want help training. They want help show presentation and handling classes. And they don't have, it's 3.5 hours to the closest handling class. What do we do? Well, I mean, you're the guy that does a lot of these seminars.
Yeah.
A lot of these training things that people come from all over. But what can they do with limited resources for training and mentoring?
It's tough. You know, I did a couple online webinars on handling that if they wanted to contact me directly, I could have docs set them up with that. But I think they really need to, they must have purchased their Havanese from somewhere. So I think they should contact that person. It's like standing on the shoulders of giants when you buy dogs like that. And you need to pick someone with big shoulders and someone that's going to teach you everything you need to know, or at least be willing to try. Mm-hmm. Like I know when we bought our first Irish Setter, our first real Irish Setter was Winfield Kennels, and they were pretty prominent up here. And so when we bought from Rosa Einstein, we weren't just buying from Rosa Einstein. You look back in her pedigree, it went back to Ted, it went back to all those dogs. So you were buying generations of knowledge there from Rosa, and Rosa herself had been in dogs for a million years, you know. So she guided us quite well. And what she couldn't guide us in, she would send us to somebody. Like we went and talked to Bob Gillum about grooming, we talked to Brian Taylor about showing. Like she sent us everywhere. That was a really important contact in my parents' young stage of having Irish Setters.
Yeah, you have to have that. And I know it's hard depending on where you live. I mean, we're spoiled. As I think I mentioned last week, within 200 miles of Chicago, there are 157 dog shows. You can certainly get mentoring and advice and just learning by seeing there. But when you're in southeastern Virginia, you're not necessarily exposed to as much. But you still can. I would get as many shows as you possibly can.
I hate, like we were just talking about phones and whatnot, but there is a lot of information online. I have on my channel, Dog Show Tips, I have a bunch of lessons, and it's amazing. I'll be driving along, so all of a sudden my phone will ring and it'll be a number that's 20 numbers long, and it's somebody in Germany thanking me for teaching them how to show their dog because they got their championship without ever having a lesson, and they did it all online. So
well, certainly try that. I can certainly recommend Young Williams, but I'm sure there are others. But look into that and see if there's something that suits you. They're even resorting to go to PetSmart to get obedience training, anything. They just want to learn about dogs. And, you know, they tried to join a breed club. I think it's a breed club or an all breed. I think it's a breed club. And some breed clubs can really, really be hard to get into and takes time. You would hope that all breeds, any clubs, breed club, whatever it might be, really, we need to reach out and help people as best we can. And sometimes I know it's not reciprocal and people can be difficult, but in general, I hope we're doing our part to reach out to new people and helping them along the way. I think if they went to a lot of shows, they'd find somebody.
And they would, and they would have to choose wisely. I have a whole session in my seminar about standing on the shoulders of giants. And that's all about choosing your mentor wisely. You go to the dog show and you sit back and watch and see who you, not necessarily who wins the most, but who's consistent with their dogs, who's consistently in the ribbons, and their dogs look the same. And that's the look you're looking for. That's usually.
Yeah. And I have some single people in that breed that I can refer them to, and I will off the air. But yeah, online, if you can't get the shows, if you can, and it's perseverance. It's a sport of perseverance. And I know they sound in their email like they don't want to stop. You know, they want to keep this thing going. And they call themselves late blooming third generation dog breeders. And I understand that. You know, you skip a generation, you get old enough yourself, and you're, hey, let's get a dog. I wonder what grandpa and, you know, my uncle, whatever, did. And how did they learn? Well, they're not around anymore. So,
Keep an eye on my website, willalexander.net, because I do have seminars all over the place, and who knows, I might have one close to them at some point.
Yeah. That's all you can do. Thank you, emails. And the emails have always been, they all start, I don't want to be, you know, toot our horn. The emails always start off saying they enjoy the show. And we enjoy the listeners certainly getting in touch with us and asking us these questions because they're important. Sometimes we'll just reply if it's private, you know, by ourselves, not on the air. And I didn't ask if I could use their name, so I did not. You're going to get lucky and find a good mentor someday. I got to tell you, speaking of mentoring, I'm going through, no one knows this, I've never mentioned it on the air, well, but I'm out there trying to get enough CEUs and knowledge to apply for my next set of breeds. Well, you know, some of the mentors have been unbelievably good. And they're all good. I'm not saying that. Yeah. But I had an interesting thing happen to me last year. It's a breed I'm interested in. It was a big entry. So I definitely was going to get there. It was early in the morning. I drove onto the showgrounds. And it's one of those showgrounds where you drive through the showgrounds real slowly. And this young woman is tearing across the showgrounds. And with her is this dog of this breed. I don't want to mention it because I don't want to get anybody in trouble or tout anybody. When I saw this puppy go by, it was a bitch. I thought to myself, I stopped. I made note of what the dog looked like, what the woman looked like, because that, in my mind, was as good as that breed gets. She just had everything. And she was running with her. So you get to see this beautiful stride, beautiful. So I went to the ring to find out about this puppy, and I did, and I found out who bred it, and we had a great chat, and now, almost a year later, I'm able to get in touch with her, and she's helping me with that breed, and taking it very seriously. We go on the phone for a three-hour conversation, Gorby Illustrated Standard together. This is really helpful, because I know I can call this person. For the rest of my life, I can call her when I have a question about this breed. That's what it's all about, not getting your form signed. You're not getting your form signed. It's hard getting them. A lot of people want to tell you about their breed. They don't want to tell you about their idea.
Their own dog, yes.
Yeah. But this person was super in saying, you know, this is what my dogs need. You know, this is what other people. And to be that honest about their own breed is... yeah, it's wonderful. Just very refreshing to run into. And that makes all the CEU forms worthwhile. Some people say they hate the process because of the time, the money, the bureaucracy, and the forms. Mm-hmm. I can take all that. I hate asking people to be my mentor. I hate asking people to take the time to discuss something with me that we can agree on and sign. I don't like that at all. It's not in me, you know? So I'm struggling with reaching out to people, but getting there. Other than that, before I forget, you know, we try to correct our mistakes. I spoke about a wonderful cluster here in Kalamazoo a couple weeks ago, and there's a bunch of show chairs and cluster chairs that I mentioned. I forgot Kimberly Canes. So Kim, sorry about that. A great job. Again, it's a show chair. And when you get good people together doing it, man, it just hums.
It's really for sure.
Cool. So
I was at a show this weekend in Toronto, right by the airport, held the International Center. It was in conjunction with the Canadian Pet Expo. It was the Aurora Kennel Club, just a two-day event, which we spoke about last week, how much we I like two-day events. You know, it feels the
one
way.
One show each day, right?
Yep. There was a lot of specialties, and we had David Miller was there this weekend. Richard Lopez-Chuck, Leanne Bateman. It was a good panel of judges. It was good to see them all. Actually, Dick got his senior judge's pin from the CKC for judging, I'm not sure for how long, but he was, he's such a good guy, Richard Lopez-Chuck. I don't know if you know Richard.
No, definitely.
Call him Dick. He's a great guy. And David Miller was there, and David's always fun to be around.
Wonderful guy. I can talk to David about anything.
He's just that kind of guy. And, but it was attached to the Pet Expo, which meant there was a huge gate for the Pet Expo, because it wasn't just dogs. It was cats, reptiles, dogs. It was everything, birds. Everything was there. And there were a lot of people bring their pets with them and just wander through the show. So there was a lot of upheaval about the pets coming into the dog show area. I myself didn't see much problem with it, but I guess there were some fights, but it was fights amongst the pets, not amongst the show dogs. And there was we frown upon pinch collars at dog shows, and there's a lot of pinch collars on these pets wandering through the dog show. And I think they managed it well. I think it's something that if we want to teach the public, educate the public about our purebred dogs, we kind of have to put up with and try to educate. I hope there's a better way to keep them from not, they don't have to come to ringside with their 10-foot leads on their dogs.
They shouldn't.
Yeah. No, they shouldn't. And but you know what? A lot of, I had my beagle on the table. I was grooming her up. And I bet you three separate beagle people came up with their beagle, and they were like, how come my beagle doesn't look like your beagle? And how come she's so quiet? How come she's this? How come she's that? And we started discussing beagles, and I think they might consider going and for an upgrade.
That's what we need to do. There's parameters we need to set, but if you have a minute and you see their interest, and you can tell the one who wants to show off the dog compared to someone who's really interested to learn. Got to make time to reach out to those people. We're in a sport that's not, people aren't going to run to us anymore in the droves that they used to, because we have other things to do, a million other sports, just with kids.
Just so much going on, so much information,
I remember, I bet your kids when you were growing up, you had the chart, right? 3 o'clock soccer, 4 o'clock hockey, 5, music lesson, dance, everything. They're occupied. And when I was growing up, it was, our occupation was the light, the street light, the sun lights out. You're out of the house. When the street light goes on, that means you come in and eat dinner.
You come back in the house. Yeah.
We didn't have a list of all the things that we were, so it's a different world. And if you want to attract people, you've got to take the time to meet them, greet them, be nice to them, and teach them.
Yeah, and you can tell the ones that want to be taught, and you're definitely right about that. And they're there. So they're worth finding out, and if they can come into our world or join the purebred world, that's fabulous.
And it's been my experience in that if you meet someone like that and they have a breed that's not really up in your wheelhouse, that if you say this person over there and you introduce them, every time that person will cooperate and be nice. You just need to lead them to somebody good.
Exactly.
The place or what they need in that breed. So yeah, I think the sport wants to help. Individuals want to help. It's just we've got to do a little more, take a little more time, and stop thinking we're the coolest ones and the only ones that know about dogs.
Right. And there was some funny, some good thing. I don't want to say that there was some good things. There were some funny moments too. And there was this one moment during Golden Retrievers. And there's always like 30 or 40 golden retrievers. Yeah. This family walks up with their pet golden retriever, and they're sitting there watching. Well, doesn't the golden start? The dogs are going down a back. Doesn't the golden start barking at them? And then the rest of the dogs start. One handler started to get a little angry, but then they realized No, that's kind of funny. It's kind of this other gold puppy was barking at the dogs on display at the performers. So,
are you my mother?
Yeah. But it was fun. It was a fun show to be at. It was a busy show. There was a lot going on all the time. It was a good event to be a part of.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Well, I hope we can do more of that and get out there and go. Now, when you have a thing like that, when you do have pets coming in, how do we know if they're vaccinated? How do we know?
Right.
Bordetella or whatever else it takes. Do they ask for proof of that?
I don't know if they actually ask for proof of that at the door, you know, at the gate when these dogs are coming in. I bet you not. I mean, that'd be hard. Like, well, they asked for my vaccination papers. But the dogs, I don't know.
Well, the other thing is, you know, a pet owner might necessarily, I mean, they may truly love and be interested in do all the right things for the dog, but they may not know what Bordetella or kennel cough is. Right. So if they hear their dog cough, they might just think, oh, it's cough. Not willingly to come in and spread it.
Yeah, and that's another point. I'm supposed to be going to shows this weekend in Springfield, and I'm not going this weekend because one of my dogs started coughing. But there was, it's like a 10-day gestation period. So I think it was a couple of shows ago that it happened at. I would think it wouldn't have been this weekend. I don't think I actually heard any dogs coughing this weekend. But I think it's important if you do have dogs that are coughing, you just don't go to the dog show. You stay home and look after that situation and get your dogs through it and then come back. I hate to say it more times than I'd like to think, I've talked to people about their dogs coughing at dog shows and to be more supportive to the rest of us here, you know.
Sure. You know, have respect for your peers and most important, their dogs. You know, we are in kennel cough season. We have it down here in Michigan, all over the place all of a sudden. Every boarding kennel, every grooming salon, everybody's got signs up about it. So it's our time to educate pet owners too. You know, if they have a cough, tell them there is a such thing, what they should do. Yes, Bordetella doesn't solve everything.
No.
Not at all. But, and it's usually a like a cold that goes away.
Yeah.
But not always.
You hear different, you know, different ways to treat it. You know, I've often just used vitamin C and up their dosage a little bit. But there's also people use Clavamox and amoxicillin. But you'd have to go to your vet to get the dosage properly. Don't just start, you know, dosing your dogs because
if it's viral and you give them antibiotics, you're probably not doing a bit of good. But your vet would be able to tell you that, right?
Right.
So, pay attention to that stuff. We have responsibilities. When you bring a bunch of dogs to a show, you really need to make sure that you're not making excuses to bring them there.
Right.
Oh, he's probably all right. You know, he's probably, he may be coughing a little, but he's probably all right. No.
He's not coughing much.
Yeah. Or he's had the worst case of diarrhea ever seen in the world. We'll just plug him up and bring a lot of sawdust and hope for the best. You could be spreading
something. But I just started hearing it this morning. I'm the first couple of times, you know, it's a beagle. You think maybe it's just outside eating grass. And it comes in, coughs it up. But I know.
What is with beagles and eating grass and dirt? It's like, I know all dogs do it, but man, they'll mow a lawn.
Oh, yeah.
You don't need it. Get yourself six beagles. You'll never have to mow your lawn again. Picking up a lot of things in the house, a lot of bile with grass in it, but you'll never have to mow the lawn again.
Isn't that the truth? My gosh. I was mopping up today. I was like, what the heck is this? It's all green and grainy.
Yellow bile with green stripes. Yeah, it's lovely. Very nice. But this is what our world's become of. We talk about the consistency of poop, pee, and vomit in dogs.
Yep.
I wake up in the morning, Cheryl says,
Yeah. Next week we're talking about ear yeast.
Anal glands next week. Stay tuned. When I wake up in the morning, depending if Cheryl and I come out first, it's usually Cheryl. Our first conversation is a little bit of hi, honey, how are you? But mostly it's Killian pooped and peed. He was good and solid. Hazel didn't do anything. You have to take her out again. And Olive, I'm not sure what's going on with her, but she looked like she might be a little puffy. So that's our conversation. Oh, hi, honey. How are you? Now let's talk about the dog's fecal matter first.
Yeah. Well, my alarm goes, I don't even need an alarm anymore. AJ, one my one beagle, he gets right in my face and it's time to get up, you know. He likes around six. He likes to go out at six in the morning. Yeah.
Beagle too.
Yeah. Butters will just fall. Butters is under the covers and she'll wake up when I wake up, but not Jay. He wants his time. And when Jay gets up, the boobie gets up and it's over. Will's got to get up.
Well, Hazel is a great person trainer, the smartest beagle we've ever had, smartest hound, smartest dog. I mean, she's, you can't believe it, she's a beagle, she's brilliant. But she has trained us very well. And she's getting a little older and she pees more often than she used to. And she'll wake up Cheryl around 5:30 in the morning to go to pee. And she comes right back in, jumps in bed and goes right back to sleep. But she does until around 6:30. And then that's time to eat. So let's wake up again and feed the dogs, please.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. AJ knows the routine, right? Like, because they're beagles, I don't like when they go out, they come in and they get carrots. Even the bouvier will eat a carrot. Yeah. But you know, the second time they go out and come back in, if I'm going out, then they're going to go into their crates, I give them a cookie. So he'll want to go out even when he doesn't have to go out because he's hungry. And he'll convince the other two they have to go out as well. And then you let them in the second time and he goes running right into the laundry room where the crate is. And he knows that it's time for his cookie, not that bland carrot that he got 6 in the morning.
Well, Hazel must have had a talk with the wolfhound and said, listen, buddy, this is the way it works. When we come in, you don't move from that cabinet door until you get your cookie. I do it. You need to do it too. And all of a sudden, here comes wolfhound, like, I'm a beagle now. Okay, where do I go? Oh, sit over. Okay, oh, cookie. Wow, this is great. So yeah, we have that routine. It's really charming. Our neighbors probably think we've lost our minds, but we have, or we wouldn't be in the sport, Will.
That's right. That's good. I sat for my exam.
Want to ask you about
that. Because I didn't write my exam. I didn't take my exam. Dr. Ernie called me and said, the real term is you sat for that exam.
Ah, that's true. What if you stand?
Exactly, you know. But I did sit, so I sat for my exam.
That's accurate. I like it, Ernie. Thank you.
He did the research for us. You know,
the professor. The professor. Yeah.
Black leather gloves. Security.
That's wonderful. So you sat for your exam.
That was for you, Dolbach, just in case you're listening.
did you bring sharpened number two pencils?
I brought one pen, and it was a Westminster pen. And I sat there for 4 hours and sat with my exam.
4 hours? Wow.
Yeah, it was 4 hours. Yeah. Yeah. Almost 4 hours.
Are you doing rules, regs, and breeds?
Yeah, and DQs.
Yeah. Ours was, I think mine was like that. It was an online test.
Yeah.
For rules and regs, and everybody fails it. It's so arduous and difficult.
Well, I think I was lucky at that point because I had taken the test, the rules and procedure test for doing the RS International with Mark. And Mark went through it with me afterwards, top to bottom. So I think I was ahead of the game because our rules are pretty close to yours. And the questions were very similar. So I think I had a better understanding than I would have if I had.
Yeah. Well, wording is a little tricky on the online test. But everyone complains about it, that they can't pass the first time. I guess, take it again. So what? You're going to read the book more.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's not embarrassing.
Well, and I had been advised to take the standards and the DQs in one sitting and then come back and do the rules and procedures in the second. But after I had finished the standards and the DQs, I was feeling pretty cocky. So I told my director, Mark, that I said, let's just keep going. So once he tore open that second envelope, I knew I had to go. I had to do it.
Now, is there any conversation involved? You're just sitting there and he's staring at you.
No, he's not allowed to advise me or anything. We had small talk in between. Yeah. We had lunch,
I don't mean that. I mean, can you talk to, does he say, okay, now I'm going to ask you questions about English Cockers?
No, he doesn't. It was all written. It was all
Ours is just that. You take the rules and regulations and procedures online. And if you miss one, I think you're done, or two. It's very, very strict. You take it until you pass it. But when it comes to the breeds and the disqualifications, it's a conversation.
Yeah, see, DQs we had to write verbatim. That'd be verbatim from the standard memory.
Same thing.
Yeah, and then there was about 15 questions on the breed, each breed.
Yeah, and there is a breed that has something like 17 DQs. I forget which one it is. But yeah, a lot, and you need to know them all. But I like the spoken ones because you can't guess the answers. And you might know the words to say, but if you can't continue the conversation and back it up, you're going to be found, right?
Yeah.
So it was great to have. I enjoyed the conversation about each breed. And I think I did maybe 2 hours for 12 breeds, just talking about the breeds the first round. And I enjoyed that. I also had a really, really, really great rep who knew dogs and set out. It was a pleasure to talk to with. But you better know what when you're talking about it, you better know what you're talking about.
Yeah. It's important. And I tried to, like we spoke about last week, a couple of breeds that I was not familiar with that I had to pass on there.
Right.
And the Poodle Pointer and the Baroque Francais, the Gascoigne and the Pyrenees. Well, I went and looked at them and got an idea in my head how they, so things sort of came together for me.
Yeah. Very good. Yeah. A lot of it's just basic dog, you know, they apply to every breed, but
yeah.
You know, one of the ones that any potential sporting dog judges out there, please know what parallel planes means in English cockers. It's not from the side like it is in most standards. Parallel planes is head on and from above in English cockers. Right? You don't want much deviation between the muzzle and the back skull, looking head on. And the same from the top, the breadth of the muzzle and the back skull. So, you have to watch those terms too, right? And some standards incorrectly say hocks when they mean rear pasterns. And some say rear pasterns. And a few just say hocks well that down, which means a short rear pastern. So you got to get those terminologies sorted in your head as well. And top line and back line, that's a discussion forever, right?
Yeah.
There's a defined difference now. We can't say he really carried his top line. Well, no, it's his back. Okay, well, whatever. We know what we're talking about. We're old. Other than that, so where are you going next?
Well, I told you I was supposed to go to shows this weekend, but I'm staying home to look after the kids and get them all better again. So my next show isn't until Orlando now. So
are you going to Orlando?
I am, yes.
Well, young William, I just made reservations last time myself.
Well, then we're going to have dinner, aren't we?
I didn't see any need to go because it's toys and herding, and it's not necessarily on my menu. You really, one of the reasons to go, if you don't know this, folks, is the judging seminars there are unbelievable.
Yeah.
Somehow, the AKC's managed to get really good dogs to come and really good instructors. And you know, you get Doug Johnson and a bunch of clumbers or anybody else that has a breed, and you do. I mean, I hate to just single out one breed, but many of them have great mentors and great dogs come. And you're going to learn something. Even if you don't agree with that mentor, you're going to learn something. And it's so powerful. But when it's toy and herding, that's really why I go is for the seminars.
Yeah.
That's not going to draw me in. But I have some other reasons to go this year, so I'm going to go down and maybe I can do some ringside observations. My chair just broke. The arms of this chair, they're cut. It's old. Well, my chair is old. The arms of this chair just once in a while just go, go fly. And the other one is one of the wheels comes off a little black plastic pieces every time I sit in it. So for a year now, I've been picking up these little, and I look and it's just like a nub on that wheel. So it might be time for a new chair.
Unless you really are fond of it.
I do like it, you know, I do like it. But I'm looking forward to going down there and seeing some friends and some dogs. And
well, I'm going to be there. We can hang out.
That's right. Over 8,000 entries. Hey, we should do a live podcast from there.
We probably could, couldn't we?
Yes, we could.
We'll have to talk to get the Wi-Fi there and sit there and do a lot. That would be a lot of fun.
That would be fun.
Yeah.
That would be very much fun. Or we can do some other stuff for the other, for the other stuff.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to be doing, I already talked to Tom Maney because they have a booth there and I'm going to go and do some stuff there. So.
Excellent. Well, I told my wife we can do it together. Yeah. I didn't think I was coming. He asked, but now last minute reservations aren't easy or inexpensive. I can tell you.
No, they're not.
But the hotels are easy.
Where are you staying? I guess we should talk about it. What are you going to wear? What suit are you going to wear on Saturday?
Everyone's dying.
I'll wear a matching suit.
Sorry, people.
Yeah, well, this is how this all started, because we just talk every week, so this is how it started.
I think the people might know this. Maybe they don't. This was just our typical weekly phone call, and one time we just started to record it, and here we are. So if we slip back into that, pay no attention to where we stand. But I like the place right across the street, because I can walk back and forth.
Yeah, I think that's where I'm staying as well. Yeah. So.
But it should be fun, so we'll see. We saw you there 2 years ago, whenever there was one.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking about this with the garden coming up, you know, COVID protocols. We have a surge now again. That's going to be an issue. Orlando's taking their precautions and doing what they do. Crufts, I'm not sure what's going on over there, but it's a real surge in England right now. So I'm not sure if they canceled this year. I don't know that. I'll have to find out. But you get a couple hundred thousand people in a dog show, and that's what happens at Crufts, by the way. 25,000 dogs and many people.
You're talking about inactivity, I was talking to Dennis Jensen, of course. Yeah. She's allowing me to interview her this week.
Oh, great. Like
a few weeks, but I love Dennis.
Yeah.
And she's just been, they've been at no shows, so she's not been doing anything.
Wow.
So, and it'll be great to catch up to her. I hadn't seen her in so long, and I was looking forward to this interview. So I'm going to do that this week as well.
Yeah, she had some pointers. I'm not sure if she still does, but I know her from
that. Yeah, that was her breed. That's how I met her.
Is it?
Cool. Yeah, two pointers. Yeah.
Excellent. Well, it's. I'm glad I'm going. It's going to be fun. I've got to just make sure that I didn't shrink my suits to dry cleaner. It'll be fine.
Yeah, me too. I was actually following a doctor on TikTok about my inactivity. I'm going to start walking.
I meant to tell you, I had at a show recently that someone came up to me and said, I get you guys mixed up. Are you Robert Redford or are you Sean
Connery?
And I had no problem telling them that I was Will. And it worked out very well. I signed autographs for you and everything.
Oh, good.
Very easy.
That's probably where Charlie Brown met you.
That's me.
I think I'm losing control of the whole world.
We're terrible. Anyway, we forgive you for all the inside jokes that we don't even get.
Sorry, guys. Yeah, Doc will put it out on bloopers at the end of the year.
Oh, that's not a bad idea. But can you believe you've been doing this for 33 episodes, 34?
That's great. No, and it's so funny because every once in a while, one of us will forget and the other one will have to call. It's Tuesday.
I started too early this morning.
You did.
Good morning, Will. It's Tuesday.
Music. Good morning, sunshine. It's Tuesday.
Well, I had to drive to a meeting in Grand Rapids today. It's about an hour drive. So I listened to our podcast. Which I don't always do, certainly in a string like that. But I was listening to it and talking to you at the same time. And it was very bizarre. In the car with me. How's this working out? What are we doing here? Anyway, I think that's about it for us tonight, ladies and gentlemen. But
I forgot to tell you one thing. Sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Doc showed up at this show a few weeks ago with Dog Show Drive t-shirt on. And the back of it said, well, where there's a will, where there's a way. How's it go? Where there's a will, there's a way.
Yeah.
He designed a Dog Show Drive t-shirt.
We should sell them in Orlando.
And he wore it at the dog show.
Did he really? That's a star.
People threw things at him and
put black tape over our eyes.
His wife made him put his jacket back on.
You had to look with the tomatoes splattered on there. The rotten tomatoes. Beautiful. Oh, that's great. Yeah, we should do that. We should raffle them off.
For what? Editions, yeah. For what?
Anyway,
this might be something we should throw out there. We're trying to find an animator to do a caricature of Wayne and myself. If there's anybody out there, please contact us because we're looking for artists.
Yes, Will. I really don't care.
I think it'd be hilarious.
He likes caricatures, and I already am a caricature. So
we could just put a picture of Robert Redford up there and say the dog show drive.
That's what we should do. Just use Robert Redford and why do I want to say Doc Severinsen?
Great. I don't mind being Sean Connery. But not there's anything at all Doc Severinsen. But he was with the... Johnny Carson, you know.
Yes, he was. There's white whiskers, but I think they were like one of those whatever. I'm doing this, y'all see that, right?
The goatee or the little strip they used to have. Yeah.
There's some whatever. Anyway, I think you're done with us. Thanks very much again for going down the road with us, and we want to thank you for your support for 34 episodes.
Wow. Yeah.
So get ready for our anniversary. That's the day we'll probably miss it. When 52 comes up. Anyway, hope to see you in Orlando. Good things going on down there for everybody that's going.
Yeah, if you see us, come and say hi. You know, yeah.
Yeah, please stop by.
Be great.
I don't know where we'll be. We'll be at Beagles.
Beagles, yeah.
We'll be at Satters.
Yeah.
We'll be at Pointers.
And at the coffee thing and the food concession. Yeah, yes. Just go water to the food concession. You'll find
there's
one.
Some elephant ears there. I love a good elephant ear. Anyway, we apologize. Thanks again, ladies and gentlemen. Peace be with you and with your spirit. And young William.
Party on, Wayne.
Party on. Doc.
All right, guys, stay safe out there. And I'm going to miss you all this weekend, but safe drive to the shows. Talk to you soon.
Party on, Bert.
No way.
Down rocky cliffs. Thanks, give me grace. Bury my sins.
So Ernie can use this in the blooper reel.
That's right.
Where I need to go.
Don't put that in, Ernie.
Yellow hills. Quit taking yourself so damn seriously.
Watch the move under my feet.
It's your own fault because you're so wishy-washy.
To see the world and take the
thanks, Ernie.
Don't hold back.